Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. We're reporting to you live once again from Cantalamba, and actually just as I started the recording, Margaret walked up. She wants to say hello. Margaret, how old are you? How old are you?
10 years.
And what grade are you in?
3.
You're in grade 3. And you eat lunch here at Living Compassion?
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Margaret. Okay, so this could actually take the whole 10 minutes, I can see. So as I was talking to Margaret, a bunch of other older children, how old are you guys? How old are you?
14 years.
14 years, and you can tell her English is beautiful. What's your name?
Emma Moringa.
Emma. All right, Emma. And Emma, you come to Living Compassion to eat your lunch?
Yes.
And so she heard Margaret talking to us, and she wanted to come say hello. Do you have anything you would like to say to the people in America?
Yes.
Okay, so Emma's going to tell us in Bemba what she wants to say, and then we'll translate for her. So Emma, what would you like to say? Her friends are helping her.
Therefore, I'm going to struggle uniform. I'm going to support the women's support.
Okay, so I confess, Teresa helped me, but the rough translation is that she's thanking Living Compassion for the food that she eats, and she's hoping that she'll continue to be sponsored so that she can have a proper uniform and shoes that she can wear to school. Teresa's impressed. I confess that the word zapato, which is the Bemba word for shoe, is very similar to Spanish. So that's how I got that one. So we actually had a whole sort of tour planned for you, a framework that we were going to do for this update. But I can see that life is taking us in a different direction. So I think we're just going to let life tour you around the property. So I'm walking into the lunchroom right now, walking with Twai Bu. Hi, Twai Bu. How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Great. Hey, Twai Bu, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
He's 12 years old. Thank you. So Twai Bu was one of the first children that we met when we first came for the first 100 children 6 years ago. So yeah, he would have been 6 years old. So I'm in the lunchroom where three of the women, Beauty. Hi, Beauty. How are you?
I'm fine, Anna. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Beauty and Foster and Maureen are serving lunch to, these are probably mostly fifth and sixth graders. And Charles is doing he's taking down the names of the students who are arriving. Hey, Charles.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So Charles is holding this huge record book that has every single one of the 800 children's names in it. And as they arrive each day, they check them off and actually keep track of who shows up each day to eat and who doesn't. One of my favorite parts is how Teresa right now is playing this role. Someone, one of the teachers, sits outside on the porch, and as they come up, they have to open up their school books and show their work of the schoolwork that they've done from that day, to whoever's on watch. So, because one of the prerequisites to having lunch at the Living Compassion property is that you have to have gone to school that day. So they show their work to whoever's checking it to make sure that they've actually done their work. So while I've got you, Charles, I wanted to ask you about I hear that you have done very well with the grade 7 students from the community. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, of course. Here we deal with the children who are either vulnerable or are orphaned. So what we do when we pick them, we groom them, and then when we see that they have caught up with the Zambian syllabus, we send them to government schools where they can write exams.
Okay.
And so far, all the students that we have taken to government school have done very well. In fact, 100% pass rate.
Wow, that is amazing. So what Charles is saying is that there are a number of students whose families can't afford even the small, what we would consider a small fee, to send their children to government school. And so they come to us, and Charles teaches them in a special classroom. And when he feels like they've caught up enough that they can go catch up with the government school, they're sponsored to go to government school. And what he's saying is that every single one of the students that he has put back into a government school, grade 7, has passed the national grade 7 exams. And that's truly remarkable, because even students who have been in government school their entire lives, there isn't a very high pass rate of the grade 7 exam. So that really says a lot for what Charles is doing for these students. I'm walking down the porch now, about 3 rooms past where I was with the kids eating, and I'm walking into the Living Compassion Sewing Cooperative, where, let's see, Georgina and Ethel are working in here. They're working on sewing some skirtalombas that someone in the Sangha ordered, and they're going to sew, I don't know, about 30 skirts for us to take back. Yeah, I'm reporting, Ethel. What are you doing right now?
I'm cutting the material for skirtalombas.
You're cutting the material for the skirtalombas. All right. Yes. So these industrial, there are 2 industrial sewing machines in here. They were bought about, how long ago did we buy these machines, Ethel?
Sorry?
When did we buy these sewing machines? Do you remember?
Yes, I can remember. We bought them in 2010.
We bought them in 2010, so we've had them for about 2 years. So they're a great resource, because it's a way for the cooperative to make product, not just for us to take back to the United States, but often Georgina will work on making uniforms for local children, and families will buy them from the cooperative and that sort of thing. So it's an excellent source of income. Here comes my buddy Naomi. Oh, she brought her jump rope. You may have been reading in the blog that for some reason Naomi's really... Hi, Naomi. How are you?
I'm fine.
For some reason, Naomi's really taken a liking to us this trip. And she, every time when she comes to eat lunch, she just hangs out and spends the rest of the day with us. So Naomi is going to stay out and play with her friends while I'm walking into the largest classroom at the end of the property. Where Veronica has gathered, I can't believe it, it's so exciting. Just yesterday, Veronica and Teresa and I were having a conversation about the library books. Over time, we've been bringing books over. And I said to them, you know, there it seems like there's a lot of the books that are just sitting there and they're not being used. And gosh, I think if we're not going to be able to use them, maybe we should give them away. And Teresa was saying, yeah, the issue is that many of the children, of course, in Cantalomba, they can't read. So they might be in, say, you know, grade 5, but they can't read a book that a 5th grader in the United States would read, because it's just way above their level. And so I was saying to these folks, well, gosh, maybe we should give these books to a community that can use them. And Veronica just looked at me and she said, no, Jen. She said, I am going to start gathering students and reading with them every day. And so she sent word around just yesterday, sent word around to the community and said, hey, we're going to start this reading program. And I actually had no idea they were going to start it today. I walked in the room and there must be, I don't know, 30 kids, at least, actually, sitting on these desks. It's as many as can possibly fit. There are more outside waiting. So Teresa decided they're going to do it in 30-minute shifts. And they're in here reading. And Teresa and Veronica are going through the books with them and helping them with the words that they can't understand and that sort of thing. So, Veronica, how did the students do today on the first day of your reading program?
Okay. According to the first day, the children, they were reading.
They were reading.
Yeah, they were reading their books. Each and everyone have to read the book.
And it looks like they're really excited about being in the program, yeah?
Yeah, they are very, very exciting and very interesting. Mm.
It's a real service you're doing. Thank you, Veronica.
You are welcome, Jen.
It is action-packed around here. I just walked out of that main classroom. I'm walking out into the yard area, and Phil and Joy are out here with their little 3-year-olds from the English preschool.
How are you? How are you? Good. You?
Fine.
Okay. Joking.
And Phil, will you do the song for us again that you were doing just a moment ago?
Hello, how are you?
How are you? Hello. How are you? Hello. How are you? Hello. How are you? Hello. How are you?
how perfect. And then off in the distance, I'm hearing the women singing. I'm going to go find them. I think they're just cooking. Hang on. They've just put the piece of jitenge on me, which means I have to dance, so I have to go. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Great. I'm in Kitsilomba. Hey, Michael, do you know if those recordings are going to be online? Because I happen to know that they sound fabulous over a computer, and
yeah,
they were a little sketchy for us listening in for the radio show. Do you happen to know if they're...
I did see a comment about that in an email. And so I'll pass that along. But if these can be posted, that would be really great.
Oh, yeah, because that music was amazing. But I think only because I'm really familiar with the process. That was great. I just love it because, of course, you know, I can just see Veronica when I hear her voice. It's Ed Tribu, my gosh. I mean, he was such a little hellion, if you'll pardon me, when he was six, and now it sounds like he's a young man. So, yeah, it's wonderful. How are you? Did I ask you how you are?
No, and I've been waiting for you, too, so that's really great.
How are you, Michael?
I am so great. I am on retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center and having a really wonderful, really privileged time here. It's great.
Uh-huh. It's a lovely retreat, isn't it?
It's a beautiful retreat.
Yeah. And even though...
testimonial, I mean, now.
Yeah, it's a little toasty. but it's interesting, isn't it, that, I don't know, the way the building is on the property and... there's always a breeze, and if you get out of the sun and into the breeze, it's quite comfortable, even though it's pretty summery.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very comfortable, and the cooling system here is really great. It's really a wonderful opportunity, and I'm really grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. All right, well, what else is going on?
I have some announcements here. There's a new email class with you, Sherry, that's going to start August 25th and go through September 18th.
Yes, just in time for, drum roll.
Do you mean the title?
Oh, no, I thought I was leading you into, and we'll finish that class just in time for the bridge walk.
Oh,
yeah, let's do the title for the email class. That's a good idea.
Yes. Resistance in the Spirit of Inquiry, Parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
And this is offered again for those who are doing it for the first time and also for those who want to deepen their experience.
Yes. So as we did with the Time to Feel Good, we'll have the A-track, for people who are doing it for the first time. And then the B track is following along the same kind of trajectory, but with all different exercises and different things to focus on around the subject of resistance. And people, of course, are, if they're high Western achievers, as Ram Dass would say, they can do both tracks at the same time. And people will often find that with classes like this, that they'll do whichever one is the, say, if you're new to it, you do A this time, and then since everything is posted online, you can come back and do B next month or the month after, or whatever. So lots of opportunities to explore resistance.
Wonderful. And the registration details will be live on the website a little later this week.
Good.
There is a Rest and Be Thankful weekend retreat at the monastery that's coming up August 24th through 26th. Walk in nature, attend an art or yoga workshop, join the monks at meditation, eat simple, delicious foods, and allow your heart to open to the generosity of life.
We just did one of those, as you know.
Yes.
And it was very well received. People had a great time.
Great. That's wonderful. So folks can take it easy and enjoy a weekend of tranquility at the monastery. And this weekend, you, Sherry, will be the keynote speaker at the International Enneagram Association Conference in Long Beach, California.
That's true. As far as we know, that is true.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
And please visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Let's get started.
Right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Jeffrey in New York City.
Hello, Jeffrey. How are you?
Well, hi. I am just about as spectacular as a person can get. How about yourself?
Great. I don't know if I would go quite that far, but I'm eager to hear more about that.
Well, I feel it's not too hyperbolic, I don't think. I wanted to talk to you about something that you, it was on the DPAP show, I think, the Thursday night show about a couple weeks ago, about practice deepening as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been noticing for myself that as practice deepens, that things are sort of getting more, the challenges are bigger, but things are getting easier as well.
Isn't that the best?
It wasn't what the voices predicted would happen.
No.
So it's good.
And now, do you play the piano?
I do.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was one of your areas. Where I'm going with this, of course, is that we actually know, we have an experience of that. So, you know, if you're learning something like playing the piano, what you're playing each week or each month is getting progressively more difficult, and yet it's at the same time easier to accomplish because you're the depth of your experience is greater.
Yes. Yeah. I was looking at it for myself in a yoga class, but as I understand taking class, as I understand the postures more, they get, I hold my body in a way that they get more vigorous.
Yes.
But the muscles strengthen around that. So as the muscles strengthen, it actually, there's an ease to it as well that develops.
Yes, and it's what you want to do. Right? You want the increased challenge. And with anything like that, whether it's music or yoga or anything else that we practice in that way, we want the next challenge in part, I would say, because we're enjoying being present to the process. We're paying attention at a different, at a whole different level. Our confidence is building, our skill is building, our understanding is building, and it's moving into more enjoyable with each stage.
Yes.
And for the person for whom that's not true, we can usually guess it's because of the voices.
Yes, the voice is trying to make everything really difficult, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, unpleasant and,
Yeah, it's not a, it doesn't feel like a contest at all or, you know, any sort of particular trajectory, but the things that are developing for me in practice now, if they had happened a year ago, 2 years ago, the voices could have easily made it very, very tough to go through.
Yes. Yeah. You would have believed it.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the grace of life that these things are coming now when there's that ability to remain open to them.
Yes, and I think when we look back, because we're fortunate in a lot of ways, we can see that it's always been that way. Even at a time when the voices were mounting their biggest attacks, we were able to be there and stay present through it to get to the other side.
Yeah, that for me inspires a lot of gratitude for that me who stuck with it then.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the thing that the voices really don't want anybody to know is that it really does just become fun and exciting. And even the places that are difficult, painful, we quickly move into a place of gratitude because we're practicing to get through this stuff. So when we're right in the middle of it, is it a good time? No, probably not. But there is a larger awareness that's containing the difficulty. I know this is what I signed on for. I know when I get to the other side of it, that I'll feel a greater freedom and expansiveness. And I know that I will get to the other side of it. And I'm learning a great deal in the process. And so I go through the challenging times and I get to the other side of those. The gratitude is deeper and wider than it was before. And I know that the next challenge is going to come along when the time is right.
Yes, yes, and with the recording and listening practice, it feels sometimes like the afterwards, the gratitude afterwards can be pulled into the situation itself, if, you know, listening to a recording while something really big is happening.
Yes, yes. So if I'm understanding what you're saying, I start out and I'm actually not that certain that I am going to make it through this. But now I've got a few of those under my belt. And because of the way the whole thing is structured, I keep running into pretty much the same things. So the ways my emotions tend to be the same, the thought patterns tend to be the same, where I get stuck tends to be the same kind of place. And so I've got those recordings of myself going through it and the reminders and then getting to the other side and how it feels when I'm on the other side. So now, you know, I'm at 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is of these, and I've got a big support system there on that little recorder that is reminding me where I am and what I'm doing and that I am going to get through it and what I need to focus on as I'm going through it and how it feels when I get to the other side. And so it really is rapidly becoming easier and more manageable to go through more and more difficult things.
Yes, and the voices would never, never have had me believe that it could be easy to move through those steps.
Yeah.
That it could be graceful, that it could be flowing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to say last week, my person, an authority figure, a boss that I have, was upset with me about something that happened. And my first reaction was, that is awesome. I have a recording for that. I can watch this. I can watch what happens to me.
Oh, I love that.
You know
that.
What I mean?
Yeah.
The boss didn't
think
it was as awesome, but I loved it. It was a great chance.
Yeah, and there's that I'm not alone. I'm not just out there with no resources. I have support, and I know where that support is.
Yeah.
And to me, the biggest thing that we can be grateful for is the recording and listening practice, period. Because what it was like in the old days to try to keep track of all of that, to remember it, to remember that I felt this way before and that I got through it and what to focus on. And it was almost impossible because egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, just held all the cards. You know, it never forgot anything, and it was just hammering at us constantly around the clock, and we had no recourse. Now, we are armed and ready.
Yeah, and I'm not that old, but I happen to remember practicing before recording and listening, and you're absolutely spot on. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a great tool.
All of it, not even beyond even the voices, what the voices were doing to us, just the, what are these people talking about? You know, and there are sub-personalities, and you disidentify, and you come back to center, and how does that fit with what the, and what, how does that go, you know, it's just this poof of stuff, all this information that that I needed to try to keep organized in some way and then keep track of. And I just had this portal conditioned mind to assist me in that. And now I have lots of support in, I have an awareness about something, I see how something works, there's an insight, there's a connection, I record about it, there. It's mine to go back to. Not just, you know, go back and read something in a book that maybe I'll get again or understand in the same way, but there's my insight. There's how I saw that and put it together, and it's in my own language.
Yes, it feels like practice going from being controlled by conditioning to being in the driver's seat is the mentor's voice on the recording.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And karmic conditioning is back there in the trunk, or maybe in the trailer following on, or maybe left at that last bus stop.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank
you
very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. You. Really quickly before I go, I love the good news update. I'm going to check out the better audio, but all the way I felt included, and it was wonderful and warm and beautiful. So, thank you.
It's just like being there, isn't it?
Like feeling included, like you belong.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, I want to mention that in the archives, those good news audio files will be the original audio quality.
Oh, good.
Because I'll take the original and paste it in when I do the editing.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Anna calling from Palo Alto.
Oh, hello, Anna.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Getting ready to do another
retreat, a la the one that you attended recently. So actually, I was thinking about you.
Oh,
earlier today.
It was a magnificent retreat. Thank you again.
Yeah, yeah, good. So this is perfect. What's going on?
Well, this is the first time I've got on, and I'm really glad I persevered. There's a situation arising at the moment that conditioned mind is telling me in all sorts of ways is extremely real, very serious, and far too big to be held in conscious, compassionate awareness. Far too big.
Oh, huh?
Be held in conscious, compassionate awareness, held within practice. And so I'm calling for support for my reminders that there's no such thing.
Okay, very, very good. And does it feel appropriate to tell us a little about it, or?
So I began volunteering recently for a cat rescue organization. And I started getting information that one of the founders of the organization had what gets called a cat hoarding situation at her home, so a serious animal welfare situation. And what I was hearing
What is it, Anna, that it's called?
Cat hoarding. So where lots and lots of creatures are kept together in a small space.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it had, of course, you know, this is a serious welfare situation for the creatures involved. And so what I was hearing from people around this situation was, we've known about this for years and there's nothing we can do. And so I began asking, is this so? And began to take steps to find out what assistance might be available for all of the creatures involved, the human creatures and the cat creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the beginning of taking these steps, there was a resolve to keep my heart open to all of it, to take steps not from a place of something wrong, and to act with as much compassionate effort as I could muster. And what has followed from that is a lot of information from conditioned mind that in order to act effectively in this situation, I really need to abandon myself and to abandon the breath. And when I'm hearing things like, this is a very awful situation, this shouldn't be happening, what I've seen so far about this is that the voices are not talking about the situation. They're actually talking about the open-heartedness that I experienced as I began taking these steps. So that's what shouldn't be happening.
Yes, and, very good. Boy, that's
big, isn't it? I it's a situation where it feels like an advanced workshop in resting in not my will but thy will, an advanced workshop in not acting from a place of something wrong. And it's not an advanced workshop that I expected to have, and here it is, and it's in front of me, and I've been talking to a lot of experts to get as much information as I can, so animal cruelty lawyers and animal welfare officers and vets. And so it's been a practice of gathering that information and coming back again and again to how I would like to approach this situation in all of the ways that I've described.
Yeah, not making anybody wrong, not making anybody the enemy, but just how do we find the place that's most compassionate for all?
Exactly, most compassionate for all.
I love that insight. I think you're probably just absolutely right on target that what's wrong with this and what shouldn't be happening is the approach that you're taking. Because you're supposed to have a lot of opinions about who's wrong about what and be terribly self-righteous and indignant and use it as an excuse to hate somebody. And and so what is that where you are now? You're just kind of one step at a time, seeing what opens up next, and then taking that step. And
And being
able to avoid urgency.
That's another big one that's been arising.
Because even though it's been going on for years, you really must do something about it yesterday.
Well, this is the thing, that it's been going on for years, and I found out about it, the equivalent of yesterday. And so, and it's almost like finding that place where I am acting in this situation, and yet not turning into somebody acting in this situation, if that makes sense.
Just being an agent of life. Because you do, you started to say something, because I do.
Because I have been asking, is it so that there's nothing that can be done? And I have been taking steps to see what can be done, and yet not to turn into somebody acting in a situation with illusions of control. And
Wow. Well, that is a big workshop.
And then,
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, what just arose where we are so far in the conversation is, always keeping in mind that we don't know where this is going.
We don't know.
We don't know what the right answer is. We don't know what is best for all concerned. We don't know. And, of course, karmic conditioning so desperately wants us to believe that we should know.
Yes. Should know first, and then work to try and make that outcome happen.
Wow. Well, eager to see how this goes.
Yeah, me too. Of course, as I'm really kind of, I have been fascinated by the don't know and all the things I'm seeing in this. And then, of course, the voices. One of the things that has felt quite believable is they're saying, well, it's very, how could you possibly see this as a spiritual opportunity? The word opportunity, as if it's, milking it or being
so cruel.
Indulgent.
So selfish.
And, I know.
Go ahead.
No, that was
Well, it's such a, this is going on all over the world all the time. Right? And so when you first said that, when you first started talking about it, the thing that, the picture that came into my mind was Gandhi and, approaching liberating India. And forever of helping people to make a change without violence. Mm-hmm. And then the violence is there, and then dealing with the violence and getting back to a place of nonviolence and taking the next step. And it was so, at least to me, obvious that that the only thing that mattered in that was the process.
Yes.
Yeah. Even something like liberation was just, it was an opportunity to practice being the way we want to be when we're liberated.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that.
Well, keep us posted, would you?
I will. Thank you. I'm sitting here with my copy of A Beginner's Guide to Bemba. I have lots of updates for you on some of the language projects we talked about on the Thursday show a few weeks ago, and so I will make a Thursday call to update you.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right, because as you can tell, things are really moving right along over there in Cantalamba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Anna.
Well, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael, it's Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. It's been a long time. It feels like, at least on this call.
Yeah, what are you up to?
Well, I just, with a big grin on the big news, on the news update from Cantaloupe.
Uh-huh.
That was just too good. And I mean, just how can we not be dancing and singing ourselves with that?
Yeah.
So just great appreciation for that being passed on. And the main reason for my call is just it felt like a gift to myself that I haven't called for a long time, that, you know, I'm part of Sangha. It's okay, despite what the voices tell me about, you know, I don't get the call.
And I'm sure they have a very good reason that you
should have
call.
Yeah, there are a ton of reasons. You know, you've been practicing so long, you don't need to. You should just record and listen. I mean, it uses practice like crazy. But luckily, you know, I can see through it.
You don't believe them.
Not believing it and calling. And the thing I just wanted to check in with you about is something I noticed in the last 24 hours, actually, is a very dear childhood friend passed away yesterday, which was a shock. And I had, you know, decided like the week before that it was time to contact her, and then the news came. So it was one of those. I didn't notice a lot of beating up going on around that. But what I have noticed is just watching the emotion that's come up around it and seeing how that the emotion gets hijacked by conditioning. And I guess, you know, it's not that I haven't seen that before, but this was, I don't know, it just came through as I watched and just, it felt like a whirlwind in a way. I just saw how clearly that anything dear, anything vulnerable, is just hijacked.
And in
this situation, just taking it and making it into, you know, something so precious, into a story, into, you know, why I should feel bad rather than celebrating a life.
Boy, when you said that, what I saw was how devoted it is, we know this, but to making it about you as a way of making it about it. Because if you're just remembering and loving your friend, there's no room for it in that. But if
that's when the hijacking starts.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess what it's pointed out to me, it's actually sort of crystallized things I've seen before. It's helped to crystallize things that I've seen before of how emotion is used to carry me off. And it's getting clearer and clearer. And this particular situation has, I don't know, just brought that home even more. And it's helped me understand or see a subpersonality that I may not have been as in touch with as I might have been, and how when I sit and sadness comes up, how identification, I've never seen how it happened, but this has offered that opportunity, how that identity is almost instantly there, just out of that one emotion.
And does it feel like it's a young part of you, or... I'm guessing this feels like a very authentic emotion that's arising.
Yes.
And then, and so you feel that, feel the part of you, or you're identified with that emotion. You're feeling that emotion. I don't know if you're identified with it, but you're feeling it. Mm-hmm. And then you watch how the conditioning comes in to make a story about that, or have an opinion about that, or tell you about that, or...
Yeah, it's actually, what came to me as you were saying that, it's almost like a magic trick, that the emotion is there, it's being felt, you know, by the heart, and then instantaneously, I'm in a different place.
Literally, I see why you're using the word hijacked. Literally, it takes you out of that experience and puts you in another one.
Yes, it's instantaneous. And I have never seen it so clearly as through this experience. So I guess that's the gift in it, and the, you know, that I can, well, have appreciation for having gone through it, because it's always been a puzzle. It's, you know, not that I haven't been looking, but This is just, I guess I was ready. I don't know. Life just provided this.
To see exactly how it happens.
Yeah, and then to now, there's the opportunity, and what I'm looking at, just is embracing that has what's, you know, that's what's gone on, that's what happened here, embracing that of, okay, this emotion is what it's used, you know.
Mm-hmm. Along with everything else.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, it's many we see and some we don't, and it's those blind spots that just once there's a peek at it, it's just, it's not that it's easy, but just great gratitude of getting a peek.
You know, I love it that you described it as being like a magic trick, because that is exactly what goes on. You know, that we are meant to be so caught up in the content of something, the story about it, that we'll quickly and easily be taken from one place to another. And we're not present to it, so we don't know how that happens. That feels really powerful. And the other thing about it that strikes me that I bet you're going to be looking at is the conditioning that has human beings constantly in a conversation about how I'm feeling.
Yes. And that actually, go ahead. Well, it's just that's what I had been looking at for some time, because you've been, I don't know, I think on some of the calls and on the archives, just that you pointed that out, you know.
Mm.
The emotion, we don't have to believe that that means a certain thing.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Really,
well,
keeping
and
an
just,
eye on that. Yeah.
On every level, you know, like, am I feeling energetic? Did I get enough sleep? Am I tired? What's going on with my stomach? Is that a little headache? Is that feeling? It's I don't know about anybody else, but it seems like the conditioning is just constantly focused on getting a reading about what's going on with this human being, as if there were a point to that.
Right. And that, so we can be informed of what's really going on.
Yes, and if we tie that in with what you're looking at, it's probably nothing, it's probably what's actually going on is so that we will be looking in one place as we are taken to another.
Just like in magic. You're
uh-huh.
shown one thing when actually if you look the other way, you'd see exactly what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And just one other thing I wanted to mention is this particular friend, we were born on the same day.
Mm.
And it is just, for some reason that, maybe for obvious reasons, it just, has put me in a place of no time to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there ever was, but...
That's right. But sometimes it's clearer
me.
Than others.
Yeah. So I guess I'm in a place now of just feeling tremendous gratitude for this level of sharing through this friend. And just appreciating tremendously the... all the support, because today I had to be recording and listening or listening to the archives every moment or I was taken off. It was just pretty obvious that that's what was going to happen. So tremendous appreciation for all that's there that allows us to have that alternative.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jan, what a wonderful tribute to your friend and a way of expressing appreciation to put that kind of effort into staying present with her rather than going off with karmic conditionings, self-serving nonsense.
You know, thank you for saying that. I hadn't looked at it that way, but that's been my experience of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a way, because when I don't, I'm
right.
Here.
Then that experience is used by conditioning to cause suffering. So to make that kind of effort that you're making to stay present makes this experience as purely loving as it can be. And purely loving includes, as we know, a lot of pain and sadness, and along with the gratitude for life and the joy and the good memories and all of those kinds of things. And to really, you're really putting your effort into staying in that place of honoring that life.
Thank you. And I just want to say, the last thing is, what that just brought to mind is, it truly has been a heart-opening experience, and that's part of what makes it painful. But it's painful, not suffering.
Yes.
And that open-heartedness, it's as though that's the gift of it as well.
Yeah, and so important to see that distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
Oh, thank you, Jan. I'm glad you got through. I'm glad you didn't listen to the voice. I'm glad you called.
Oh, I'm glad I did, too. And thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle.
Oh, hello, Rochelle. How are you?
I am doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Good.
I had been trying to get on last week and this week, and the initial reason was to discuss kickback that I had thought that I was having. I had started having some sleep disturbances and waking up about 3 a.m. in the morning, and conditioning was telling me that I wasn't practicing as I should, I wasn't eating as I should, and that I was spiraling down into a deep depression, and was greatly concerned. I felt a decrease in energy and felt more resistance to doing practice or doing anything. And the energy of activation, the energy to do things, seemed more and more demanding just to get rolling in an activity, whether it's exercise or cooking or what have you, and feeling exhausted and low energy. And so I tried to get on last week, and listening to the other participants, even though I didn't get on, it was really helpful. And we started reflective listening buddies, and I talked with our buddy last week and this week about this. And I have come to the realization that the only thing that's wrong, or the only thing that's a problem, is not kickback, but that I'm believing the story about kickback. And it's distracting me from what's going on. And so it's the thing that conditioning can get me about these days.
Yes.
And so despite the waking up in the middle of the night, and despite everything that's going on, I still do my practice. I still exercise. I still sit. I still go to my group meeting. And so when I look at it objectively, I'm doing what I'm practicing through it. And so getting distracted about the feelings and the story that I'm having kickback that everybody's warned me about with my commitment to deepen practice, I've come to the conclusion, and I just came out, you know, today, that really the kickback is just a story about kickback. I'm actually not falling off the path of my commitment.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing that it sounds like there might be some validity to is you don't have as much energy right now as you do sometimes.
Exactly.
Which doesn't have to mean a darn thing. Just means you don't have as much energy as you do sometimes.
Well, and one of the things I've kind of done is kind of given up. It's like, well, so I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm awake for an hour and I can read or I can do something. That's not a problem. I'm just observing it. Yeah. So this happens. And the one thing that will really truly get me is if I believe the story that I'm having kickback and I'm going in depression, and if I stop exercising and if I stop sitting, then
yes.
it's got me. It
That's
really,
right. That's
yeah.
right.
And
then,
so,
then it's that self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly, exactly. It mm-hmm. will take me down. And it truly didn't want me to call tonight. It was like,
oh,
oh no.
I bet.
And I was like, oh, no. I'm going to keep trying till I call because, and even with the reflective listening buddy, I will continue to talk about it and hear it back so that I believe my successes instead of the story that's saying, this is kickback, it's going to be awful, and you've made so many changes, and, you know, oh, here comes the big depression because all the changes. It's like, well, no, other than conditioning, talking about it, I actually think I'm doing okay.
Yes, I appear to be fine. I'm sure that if you and I haven't talked about this, you've heard me talk about it, but that as a matter of fact, I was up at 3 o'clock last night, too, and it's just one of my favorite things in the world. I think it is the premier meditation time available to a human being. I know it's great to meditate whenever. I don't get up and sit on a cushion and meditate. I just lie right there in my little bed and enjoy having this completely silent time when nothing is being demanded of me. I can relax completely. I have big windows right over my bed, and there's the breeze and the stars, and it is just heaven to me. And so at this point, I really feel a little let down when I wake up in the morning and I didn't have my, you know, in the middle of the night, alone time with God and the stars.
Well, and that's what I would do at the monastery is I would go outside and look at the stars.
Yes.
I'm in Charlotte now, and, you know, I'm not going outside here. But
yeah.
It is actually an improvement because it used to be, before I was really grounded in practice and things like that, that conditioning would say mean, evil things to me and beat me up at 3 a.m. in the morning. And
mm-hmm.
I don't entertain that at all. But I've also, at this point, with this episode that I've been having, I've given up trying to think of it as a problem or something that has to be cured or go away. And I do get out of bed, mainly because the puppy wakes up and she wants to play. And I think she thinks it's our personal time together to bond. But I don't sit there bemoaning the fact that I'm awake at 3 a.m. in the morning, that it's a problem.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. It's such, to me, it's the prime example of, the most familiar to a lot of people example of what you were talking about with depression. You know, so I wake up and then, oh my God, I'm not getting enough sleep. I know what this means, and and by the time I get finished with it, the anxiety is so great that nobody could sleep through this. And then the next time it happens, and then pretty soon it's just built into a system that is going to ruin a person's life. Whereas if it's not a problem, then it's just something that's going on. You know, now I'm a little lower energy than I usually have. Oh, now I'm a little higher energy than I usually have. Not sleeping through the night. Oh, now, yeah, oh, gosh, that's interesting. I've been through a sleeping through the night period.
Yeah.
End of story. Yeah.
Yeah, really the only problem is what conditioning is trying to make it into a problem.
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth across the board?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it just tells you so many lies. And so if you don't stop and say, okay, what am I doing in my practice? What am I doing on a regular basis? Where was I? What accomplishes? If I don't do that periodically, and this is about 6 months in for the deepening practice, if I don't do that periodically, I'll start believing the stories where it says, I'm not doing it right. I'm not, you know, it's not enough. And some catastrophe.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I get the emotions with it and the physical sensations. And it's like, wait a minute, it's telling me a lie.
That is a really important point, and I hope everybody who hears this does it, to take that, once a week, once a whatever, and just do a review. Okay, now, actually, what am I doing? How much of my, I'm going to the group, and I
sit and I do recording and listening, and I have a reflective listening buddy, and just get that list going, and then confirm for oneself, oh, okay, yeah, I'm on track, actually, I'm practicing. Yeah, I don't need to listen to those voices.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I greatly appreciate it, was delighted to hear Jen and Ken Lumber. I'm just so excited about things that are going on there. But I really appreciate y'all's support, and I will keep plugging away at it and keep practicing.
Yeah, that's all we can do, isn't it? We just keep on going. And as kind of full circle back to what we were talking about with Jeffrey, the good news is it actually does get easier and more fun as we go along, right? As evidenced by the, you know, there was a time when waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning was being beaten bloody until we fall asleep in exhaustion. And now it's like, okay, well, let's play with puppy.
Yeah, it does come full circle, doesn't it? Well, I greatly appreciate it. Check in another few months, okay?
All right, yeah, good. Thank you. It's great to hear from you.
Nice, bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have about 3 minutes left here. What do you think?
Let's try it, Michael. Let's just try it.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Isabel calling from San Francisco.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
There's a voice from out of my past. How are you?
I'm good. I'm calling. It's part of my commitment to call, and I called a few weeks ago, but it was Jen on the air and not you.
Oh, okay. That's why I haven't heard from you. All right. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm still on it. I am doing really wonderful right now.
Good. You want to say a little more about that? We like good news, you know.
Yes. Well, it came about by I went to a devotional music festival for 5 days in the woods of Oregon. So I was out in nature and surrounded by people who are essentially practicing, in a little different way than we do. But the message was basically one of living in love rather than in fear.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and what that came to me, that really felt like freedom. And living in the moment and not needing to know the answer.
Wow. To music.
Yeah.
That
to music,
like a
yeah.
Good combination.
I mean, it really was. It was, the lyrics of the music were from different spiritual traditions, but seemed to be getting to the same mystic core. And then also the musicians were like using the music to do vibrational energetic healing on the people listening.
Oh.
So.
Ah. Wow. Well, that is very fun.
It really was. It really was. And so for me, I feel like my practice has deepened to the next level. And the result for me is like I feel more energized to take the next step in my life and a step a little bit more into the unknown and, you know, start following my inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not
who
needing
to
know how
to you, who will talk to you on your recorder, which is very, very handy, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, per like listening to the conversations on this call, I was like, yes, I want to record all the insights that I've just had at this retreat,
maybe make a little music of your own.
Yes.
Do some of those lyrics for your own experience.
And so like maybe put some of my insights into song or some kind of music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why not?
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's what other people were doing, and that's what you enjoyed. So, therefore,
thank you for that encouragement. That is like totally, out of the box for me and taking it to yet another level because, you know, I've pretty much been told like not to use my voice, and that was one of the big messages or learnings that I got from this festival was actually people do want to hear what I have to say and to, like, find my voice. So that's a contribution. So,
Exactly. Above all, you need to hear your voice.
Yes.
Because yours is the, as for all of us, ours is the healing vibration that we need to embrace. So
our own inner voice.
Yes. Yeah. And now again, I don't know that this is true, but this is what I have been told, and this is what I suspect, that for each one of us, the sound of our own voice, the pitch of that, the tenor of that, it will heal us. And so I bring that into the recording and listening, you know, to hear the messages that we each need to hear in our own voice. And then for you, since you seem drawn in this direction, to add the element of song to it and to hear in your own voice the messages that will heal you, to find out what they are and then to deliver them, sounds like a great complete package.
Yes, that really does. And I'm just sitting here loving that, because I know it's going to be, that's so against what conditioning would tell me that I'm, you know. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But clearly, but you're not into listening to it any longer, or you wouldn't have been off in the woods listening to devotional music and finding your own voice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And really starting to see that it actually is possible to live in love and beyond fear and live in the present and be happy.
Yes. Which you already know. You're just in the process of proving to yourself that, in fact, you do know.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad I got to have this conversation with you this evening. Thank you,
Me
Michael,
too.
For arranging that for us.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Isabel. Talk to you soon, huh?
Thank you, Sherry. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel.
I think it was a little more than 3 minutes, but worth every second of it to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you, Sherry, for this great privilege.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.